Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. It's 2 minutes after 9 a.m. We're in the State Capitol Senate Finance Room. Please silence all your cell phones. We have with us Senator Stedman, Senator Olson, and Keel are on their way. Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk. Today's agenda, we have one item, which is the overview of the governor's FY 26 budget vetoes. We are going to have a presentation from the Office of Management Director Lacey Sanders. Please come to the table, introduce any guests that you might want to assist you, and begin with your presentation.
Good morning, everyone. For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders. I am the director of the Office of Management and Budget for the governor. Today, for the committee, we were asked to walk through the FY 26 vetoes that were enacted into law last session when the legislature, after the legislature passed their versions of the operating capital and mental health bill. I don't have a presentation today. We do have three spreadsheets that are in the committee's packet that I'm happy to walk through. I do have with me here in the room today Commissioner Anderson and his team from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Happy to walk through some slides that they prepared on the veto related to the state transportation improvement plan, or excuse me, statewide. Or the STIP. So with that, Senator or Chair Hoffman, I'm happy to start with the spreadsheets that we have in the committee's packet. I'll provide a brief overview and then allow the committee to ask questions.
Please.
Great. Thank you. So I'm going to start with the spreadsheet that is titled Office of Management and Budget FY 2026 Budget Bill HB 53. I will... I apologize. Committee aide showed me how to do this, and I am not going to be able to get to the full screen. So I'll just start from here. It's a reference tool. It's very small anyways. Yeah. Okay. So as we spoke about yesterday when I provided an update on the governor's proposed budget for fiscal year 2027, when we left session last year, the budget was balanced, and we were working closely with the Department of Revenue on the trending downward revenue for the price per barrel. Thank you. At that point, we were seeing significant reductions from the $68 per barrel oil down into the low 60s, which really framed the conversation for the governor regarding what to continue moving forward in the budget. Each year we go through a confidential and deliberative process of reviewing the items that are included in the budget and determining the governor determines which items that he would like to veto. So the vetoes totaled about $122 million in total. The budget at that point, as the budget was signed into law, had approximately $141 million surplus. As we discussed yesterday, the price of oil continued to decline. If we were looking at the budget that was enacted into law without any supplemental additions, there would be a current deficit of about $50 million. So with that, the operating vetoes are on the summary that I referenced, and I'm happy to take questions on specific items if members have certain items that they would like to look at.
Brief eddies. Call the meeting back to order. I wonder if you might address items that we had deleted and you vetoed them. I think that that's a very important topic. I think those are lines 19 and 20 are two of them.
Yes.
We repeal those items. And I bring this up by you vetoing them. What is your position?
Chair Hoffman, thank you for that question. The two items that you're referring to are appropriations that were included in the bill that would repeal prior year appropriations. And the administration's standpoint is that those items were subject to the line item veto. I understand that there is potentially a disagreement by the the Legislative Legal Division. I have shared that information with our Attorney General, who is looking into the statements by Legislative Legal. Further from that, I'm not an expert when it comes to the Department of Law, but we do stand by those items being vetoed.
Well, it's in my opinion, and I've been on this committee for many years, that the legislature has the power to appropriate. Do you argue with that position?
Chair Hoffman, no. The legislature does have the power of appropriation.
So we originally appropriated those funds, and we felt that because of the budgetary concerns, we could no longer afford those appropriations. So we sent them in and we repealed them. So the position I think that the legislature has, if we repeal those dollars are no longer appropriated. So the governor's position is that they can reappropriate those by repealing them. That is not, the governor's office does not have the power to appropriate. In essence, that is what you're telling me, that the administration has the power to appropriate by repealing a reduction that the legislature made. I would request that those dollars not be spent until this issue is clarified. If that can be at least accomplished, it would be show a good sign of faith between the executive branch and the legislative branch, not to spend those dollars until this issue is clarified. I know you probably have to run that up the pole, but that is the request of me as chairman of the operating budget.
Thank you for those remarks, Chair Hoffman. Noted for the team over at the Department of Law, and I will have a conversation with the governor as well.
Are there questions of other members of the committee? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think on that subject, it'd be nice if it was a fairly timely response so the legislature isn't put in a position where it has to have a untimely response back, because this is a serious issue dealing with the inability of the governor to increase appropriations.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, will follow up for the committee on that item.
Further questions on those vetoes? Seeing none, please proceed.
Okay. So the second large spreadsheet in the committee members' packets is specific to the capital budget. You know, with a focus on retaining general funds across the state, looking forward based on what the revenue projections were looking like. I think I will note as well and ask Commissioner Anderson to join me at the table at this time. I believe that there are committee questions regarding the reappropriations that were vetoed in the capital bill, and so I'm going to,
Commissioner Anderson, welcome to finance. Please proceed.
Okay. For the record, my name is Ryan Anderson. I'm the Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And, yeah, thank you for having us here today for the Senate Finance Committee. We a lot of interest out there on our statewide transportation improvement program. I mean, really all of our construction programs and the match for those programs, the federal dollars. And so we wanted to put together a short timeline, hopefully to answer questions ahead of time that folks have that we have heard, and then offer up that opportunity to ask questions. So with that, we could go to the first slide. Now, we put together a timeline just of the sequencing of events, you know, for the DOT programs. One thing just to note here is, as we're working through the budgets, you know, we have federal fiscal years, we have state fiscal years, and we have calendar years that all kind of play into how we do things. You know, during this one starts back in, you know, kind of at the beginning when we were working through our STIP Amendment 2, and that was where we were, you know, we have to have a fiscally constrained STIP. And so that includes, you know, the match that's available to match federal dollars. And as we were working through this one over, you know, last year, you know, we originally had a STIP that showed, you know, what we thought was possible in terms of construction dollars on the street for 2026. And then, you know, subsequent to the reappropriations and the vetoes, we hadn't gotten through finalizing our STIP. And so, you know, based on what we heard from the Federal Highway Administration, we had to finalize our STIP, showing that the actual match that exists at that time. And so that was one thing. You know, there's a lot of questions out there about what is possible versus what is currently in our statewide transportation improvement program. And it's really that difference between the public notice STIP from amendment to the final is how it's laid out. And then we just wanted to give a brief summary of the different actions that went on over the past year. If it's okay, I would like to call up Mr. Dom Pannone just to go through some of the details on the vetoes.
For the record, Dom Pannone, Alaska DOT, Director of Program Management and Administration. So this slide outlines how the match funds transformed throughout the budget process. Originally, the governor proposed $115 million of match, $90 million for surface transportation, $23 million for the airport improvement program, and then a couple other various pots of match. As the budget moved through the legislative process, what was enacted was a $45 million of match, so roughly a 60% reduction, and a $58 million reduction in our surface transportation program match. So the reason that those were reduced ultimately, as the budget moved through the process in the other body, the request was reduced by $6 million, and as it moved to the final stages, the UGF was replaced with reappropriations of existing projects and older match pots. And the table at the bottom outlines what those match pots were and what those reappropriations were. Roughly $37 million from the Juneau Access Project, some funds from earthquake relief, some emergency funds, funds from Fairview Loop, and then about $20 million from airport improvement and surface transportation match. Go to the next slide. So the way that those were injected into the budget was likely by, you know, looking at the capital appropriation status report. So this slide outlines kind of how the numbers change over time. And one point I'd like to make is that the match that DOT has, we account for that in our annual request to the legislature for additional match. So also the match balances are not static. As projects close out, they release match that had been encumbered and obligated. They release both match and federal funds, and we reuse that in the current year. So match balances fluctuate, and then when we're looking at our balances, we also account for how much we'll need for August redistribution and advanced construction projects in the STIP. So when we requested the match, we were requesting additional match. In October, prior to the budget, the department works with OMB to assemble the capital appropriation status report. In February of last year, that report was released. And in March, we started working on August redistribution and gearing up for a record-breaking $183 million federal funds captured for August redistribution. In April, Ledge Finance did request the balance of our older appropriations from the CASR. We provided it. And then immediately after that, sent a letter advising and articulating what these balances are for and how we use them, advising not to reappropriate and advocating that we retain the funds. Later in session, we provided testimony to the legislature on reappropriation for specific projects that were on the prior slide.
Senator Stedman.
Just for clarifications, maybe he can define what encumbered monies are and allocated monies and if there's a difference between them.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, encumbered funds is a status of funds in our state accounting system in which there's a valid obligation to expend those funds. So if we have a contract with a contractor, that's an obligation to pay. If we have an authorization from the federal government to proceed on a project, we encumber and obligate those funds. So that would be the distinction.
And an allocation, what's an allocation?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, allocations are, they could be multiple things. Typically, allocations are sub-allocations of an appropriation. Depending on the context.
Senator Stedman.
So can you move encumbered money and can you move allocated money?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, if we're talking about sub-allocations of an appropriation, money can be moved within an appropriation through a revised program. That is true. When money is encumbered and obligated, it cannot be moved. It is frozen until expended. So if we encumber and obligate funds on a project, that money stays with that project until it's complete. If the project is closed out, we release those funds and then re-encumber and obligate on a different project.
Just trying to figure this out. So was the Juneau Access money frozen?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, the appropriations for Juneau Access, for which there were two, had active projects with parts of the funds encumbered. Later, as we moved through that project, and we do have a slide on it, we could talk more about that. Eventually, it was encumbered and obligated. Once we had a valid contract, the remaining funds were encumbered and obligated.
And that valid contract was dated when?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, the contract for the Cascade Point project was signed July 8th, I believe.
And when was the budget signed by the governor?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, might defer to.
I don't have that date in front of me.
Before July 1. Yep. Is that safe to say? Before July 1?
Yeah. Okay. Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I'm told that, and the veto would have been part of that.
Okay, I just want to make it clear because we're going to walk through this, I think, Mr. Chairman, with Ledge Finance, because I think we have a disagreement on fungibility of monies, and we have the ability here at the finance table, and we exercise every year looking out over old projects and loose unused money, unencumbered money that we could reappropriate for projects. And we actually have a list that's produced every year. And just for those watching at home, this list was created and worked on with Ledge Finance. It wasn't somebody at the cocktail lounge at the bar on a napkin just dreaming up numbers to put in the budget. It was, and we'll go through that with Ledge Finance. because they were continually asked to rescrub these numbers and go back and look at them clear until the end, because the budget was significantly restrained from a financial perspective, and we had to have a balanced budget, and we had to move forward with our STIP or match projects. And I think these Juneau Access is a non-federal 90-10 match, and we walked away from 90-10 match, 10 cents on the dollar, to move forward a project that was 100% general funds. So we need to have some additional clarity, I guess, as we go through this. And I'm just using Juneau Access because it's the biggest dollar amounts here. And I recognize, that project has some significance in the transportation system of the Marine Highway. We'll argue that. But those monies, do you remember when those monies were initially appropriated to this project?
Through the Chair, Senator Stedman, the original appropriations for those funds, which had been rescoped a number of times, began in 2006.
That's a long time, Mr. Chairman, to have loose change floating around.
9 years.
Yeah, 2006 from 25. We're not going to get into math here too deep.
19 years.
That's a long time. It's a long time. So we have a difference of opinion. We'll just work through this, but we'll continue. I'll have some more questions, Mr. Chairman.
But for the general public, what Senator Stedman is describing is he is the chairman of the capital budget, and he utilized, among other funding sources, the $21 million for the Juneau Access Road, which he's allowed to do so, which funded, was used as a match to get our federal dollars for the construction year upcoming. By the governor vetoing that funding source, that left no match for all the projects that were included in the budget that was submitted to the governor. That started a chain reaction of contractors and concerned citizens that projects would not go forward until that issue is addressed. And that is where we stand today. There is further action that the legislature has to take in order to capitalize on those federal dollars. We, the state of Alaska, have been notorious in capturing other states' inability to spend federal dollars, and now we are the tables have been reversed upon us. And if we don't come up with adequate funding sources, other states can grab those dollars and spend them, leaving us without those dollars. People in this building, legislators, have been contacted by contractors, by many individuals that want those projects completed. And there is potentially the time to do that. But as everyone is well aware, there are hiccups along the way, and there are no guarantees that we will come up with an adequate solution that was caused by the governor's office vetoing these revenue sources, thereby stalling and potentially not having these projects completed. I would say that the time is of the essence. I know we can kick this can down the road until May, but that does not satisfy the concerns, which will continue by contractors, by people in the public, until this issue is resolved. So I would say that the the sooner we can do so, if additional issues can be addressed, we would assist the third floors working with us to get this issue accomplished behind us, so that the general public can know that those projects are going to be completed, and the contractors will know that they will have those projects to on their books to proceed and do the necessary planning in order to get those projects done. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a couple more on this slide, if I could. On the March 25th date, it says initial planning for the August redistribution begins. That sounds good. But when does the when do you know about the $183 million award for the redistribution? Is that in August, or when do you actually get notified that you need to come up with additional match to whatever amount that you may get access to in this case happens to be $183 million.
Yeah, if I could, Chair. For the record, Ryan Anderson. Through the Chair, Senator Stedman, on the next slide, we tried to put a timeline because we knew this question about August redistribution. I mean, we absolutely, last year was that record year of $183.5 million. You know, we're going to push again this year for another good, solid year. What you can see is that we're already talking to Fed Highways just this month. They gave us our initial estimate for this year, and that was around $66 million. And that typically is how it goes. They start out with kind of a lower estimate, and then we come back to them with what we think is possible. And so that's, you know, that's important. And so January 13th was the $66 million when they released that number. As we go forward, they've told us by April 15th they want us to come forward with kind of a preliminary plan. And then as we go forward, May 15th is when the draft, official draft plan is due to Fed Highways. And then our final official August redistribution, AR on the slide is August redistribution. That's due to FHWA on July 14th. You can also see on this timeline how our statewide transportation improvement program works into this. Because what we try to do is make sure that we're maximizing our different fund types and things, and that takes the statewide transportation improvement program and how we, you know, include projects and what's ready based on, you know, what projects are ready to deliver. So that factors into this too as we work through the year to make sure that, you know, both August redistribution and our statewide transportation improvement program are up to date to maximize that.
Senator Stedman.
The reason I asked is, it takes match money. So where did the match, if there was no match money for the normal STIP of that that fiscal year, where did the match money come from to secure the August distribution, and what fund sources did you use?
For the record, Don Pannone, through the Chair, Senator Stedman, good question. Thank you. So the August redistribution last year was for federal fiscal year 25. So we were using funds we had a balance of for the federal fiscal year and prior year, including some of the funds that were in the reappropriation back to the department. So every year we calculate based on that. And so the vetoed amount is affecting the current federal fiscal year 2026 and the current August redistribution upcoming. It didn't impact that year where we were able to accomplish that.
Senator Stedman.
So can we get a breakdown of those funds? I didn't quite hear what the fund sources were. You can get back to the committee if you need to for the 183. We'll have to have some consideration on the upcoming year so we don't have to repeat this meeting in a year from now. But I would like to congratulate the department. Let's not lose sight of it, of positive things here at the table, the $183 million. It's a very good job for the department. We'll have our discussions over the capital budget issue, but the department did a very good job on that, and we're not. We're just curious where the mechanics and the funding of the 183 were don't conclude in any way, shape, or form we're going to terminate that. That's not going to happen, you know, so we just want to make sure we understand the movement of the money and time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get the 60 coming up or more.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions of the department, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at this timeline you have here for this, the present year, I assume that first one's October 1, 2025, right? But as I look at this, I'm just trying to figure out when you need this hole created with the vetoes filled. Commissioner, you came to the Transportation Committee the other day and said anytime before July 1, June 30 be fine. But at what point do you need to identify the match dollars to the feds? It's not in that draft due May 15th?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel. Yeah, we're in discussions with Fed Highways about that. Typically, you know, what they want to see is that there's a reasonable, that we can reasonably say that the matches will be available. Right now we have a supplemental budget request in, and so we're hopeful that, you know, they will see that as reasonable as we go through. Our final AR plan, though, our August redistribution plan is due July 14th. And so that's where the rubber meets the road on that front.
Mr. Chairman, I just asked because we're still in session after May 15th. And there's this tendency for the budget to pass kind of last. So I'm trying to figure out if there's any room for if you're going to be up against the wall. I wouldn't say room for error, but if we're going to have you so pinched that if anything goes wrong legislatively, I know, every session ends smoothly.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel, I don't disagree with that. There's definitely, you know, there's a lot of, in project delivery world, I mean, we want certainty. I mean, that's what drives projects. When you look at how much is invested in these projects as they go forward and then the time and, you know, the momentum it takes to get these projects across the finish line, absolutely the certainty is a great thing. What we're trying to show here, because there was a lot of questions about numbers, is when we were projecting the numbers of the match that we have available now, and then what we need to get us through July 1 and then after July 1. Based on those numbers, you know, we believe that, you know, we can get through July 1. We're not saying we don't need the match. We absolutely need the match this year. It's just that based on our projections of project delivery, when these things are going out the door to construction, plus our other obligations, there's design, there's right-of-way, there's utilities, there's program obligations and authorizations as well. But we do believe, you know, based on the current dollars that we have, July 1 was, we can make it through July 1.
Let me state that Senator Stedman and I worked with this committee and with the other body to come up with the revenue measures, including the funds for the Juneau Access Road, because every penny virtually was of general funds was spent by vetoing the revenue source, the source of revenue for the match. Everyone knows that the other source of funding is probably going to have to come from the Constitutional Budget Reserve account. This gives concern, I think, to potentially the contractors and citizens of the state, because What are the requirements for accessing the Constitutional Budget Reserve account? You have to have a three-quarter vote. So you need 15 votes of the Senate and 30 votes of the House. These are super majorities and are very, very, very difficult to come by. So hopefully we can work with the third floor, and the third floor can work with the minority members to get these things accomplished. My experience in accessing the Constitutional Budget Reserve account, because I've been there as a minority member, there's a price to pay. In the past, there was the funds in order to get that accomplished. But today, given the state's fiscal condition, there is very limited amount to be utilized from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Account. We have a fiduciary responsibility to protect that fund for rainy days and not for for non-recurring expenditures. So that is one of the reasons that we utilize these funds, because the capital budget is a one-time budget, and it's going to require a lot of sacrifice from members to come to the table and submit their vote to access that fund without costing the state of Alaska additional funds. Could you comment upon that, Senator Stegman?
Yes, I was going to point that out to the public, that this triggers the three-quarter vote. When we put the budget on the table and made it balanced, which was very difficult last year, with a $1,000 dividend, the fund sources were pretty much dried up in all directions. So now, when we fast forward, as mentioned earlier by the OMB director, you know, oil's shifted down a couple of bucks, but that put us in a deficit. And when you have a deficit, you have to backfill it. And that one savings account, the statutory budget reserve, is empty. That takes a simple majority vote. So the other account, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, takes a three-quarter vote. So I would suggest that the administration work with the minorities groups and come up with a solution, because the capital budget is going to be even further constrained this year than last year. I'd also like to add, Mr. Chairman, in the event that this did not happen and those funds were shifted from Juneau Access, there was no discussion or interest in killing that concept. It was utilization of these old monies. All we have to do, or what I had to do, is appropriate in the capital budget the same amount or more, whatever it took, to move that project forward in the following year, which would be this budget year we're in. And we would have had to try to balance that budget and that component part and work that out. And release of the notification from DOT to advance Cascade Point Ferry Terminal was dated May 23rd. Unfortunately, it didn't work in the time frame. It was after the fact when the budget was done and wrapped up. So I'd also suggest, Mr. Chairman, if the department or the administration has issues with the budget, that they have some dialogue with us, because we are going to balance the budget this year, come hell or high water. So now we're going to do it. I don't know. The group here at the table has got to figure it out. And I got confidence with our experience. All of us will figure it out.
Yeah. I would like to state that I believe it's possible to balance the FY27 budget without using the Constitutional Budget Reserve Account. It is not possible to address the supplementals without using the Constitutional Budget Reserve Account. So the programs that we have for public education, public health, public safety, the citizens of the state of Alaska can be assured that in 2027, as it was in 2026, are going to be accomplished. What is in question is the capital projects and some of the other requirements that we will be spending the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund on. So what is in play? The largest item is the capital budget, and the projects that the senator from Sitka mentioned, and utilizing those funds for that project, put all the other projects in jeopardy. Senator Stedman, do you have comments upon that?
No, Mr. Chairman. I think you stated it well.
Further questions? Please proceed with your miracle presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We did want to provide a timeline for Cascade Point, understanding that there are a lot of questions, there's a lot of history. And so, you know, we laid out all the, you know, all the actions, all the briefings, our work in hiring contractors, which started in 2023. You can see, you know.
Excuse me. Can you describe for the general public what Cascade Point project is?
Oh, thank you, Chair. Yeah. So Cascade Point is a ferry terminal that's proposed at the end of the Glacier Highway, which is out of Juneau. It's about, I think. Mile one of the Glacier Highway starts here in downtown Juneau, and it ends, I think Cascade Point is about at mile 41 of the Glacier Highway. So it's about 41 miles from downtown. And it's a new ferry terminal that's proposed to shorten the length of the run to for the Northland Canal run to Skagway and Haines, reduce time, reduce our operating costs of the ferries. And yeah, that's really the overall purpose of it.
And a year ago today, what priority was that on the DOT's construction list?
Yeah, Chair Hoffman, yeah, it was a priority. I mean,
the number one priority?
Well, we balance a lot of priorities. I couldn't say any project was number one. I mean, we have a list of, I mean, we secured over $1.3 billion in projects last year. Those were all priorities last year. So this is a project that, you know, we've been investing in since 2023 pretty heavily with detailed engineering feasibility studies. You know, we have all that work that was leading us to a construction contract.
Please proceed. Senator Stedman.
Just for further clarification, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the mine access and the further development of ferry terminal or whatever, so the public can get more of a holistic view of what we're talking about with Cascade Point, because it's been in the public arena for years, and we even built a couple of ships for it. Mm-hmm. If you could help us with that.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Stedman, yeah, thank you for that. So Cascade Point, the DOT proposal is to build a public ferry terminal. Not so different than you would see at, you know, any of our ferry terminals across the state. The way it's being looked at is a design for the Alaska class ferries, which are you know, they've been known as the day boats, but it's like the Hubbard or the Taslina, and really it would just provide that daily service on North Lynn Canal. When we initiated this, a Gold Belt approached us, the Native Corporation. And we had similar interests. They wanted development at that site as well. They own land there. And they have a current operation where they're shuttling mine workers over to the Kensington mine, I believe it is, and back and forth. And so there's a bigger economic look at that area as well. That's where you'll see on the timeline, there's the governor signed an MOU with Gold Belt on March 9th in 2023 that kind of kicked this off.
Senator Stedman?
Yes, and the Alaska Marine Highway Board, were they aware or unaware of this project moving forward last spring?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Stedman, as you can see, we've provided the dates that the AMHOB, or the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board, was briefed on the project, which went all the way through. You know, we went back to May through July of 2022. March and May of 2024. I mean, there were regular briefings as we went through the project.
Senator Stedman.
My understanding that they were surprised by this. At least that's what was expressed in the paper. Kind of caught off guard. So there must be some confusion.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Stedman. Yeah, I'm trying to remember if there was a formal briefing on the construction. There may not have been. As we move that project forward from that side of things.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Please proceed.
Yeah, that was really the slides. There was some, you know, just going back to, I know there was some discussion earlier about, you know, the Juneau Access Appropriation and when that was. And so we tried to lay out kind of some of the history here with, you know, the early appropriations. You know, when that Glacier Highway was extended to that point, that was back in 2011 to 2013 when they actually built the road where it ends now, where there's, you know, it ends at a point where there's, it's just land. You know, there's no actual wayside. There's no facility there. The road just ends. And then we went through the, you know, the AMHS, the reshaping report, I think that was early 2020, you know, that identified Cascade Point. And then just trying to give that, you know, we've had the Cascade Point project in our statewide transportation improvement program. Oh, man, since the new 2024 to 2027 program came out, so that's been several years as well that it's been carrying forward, just like many other projects. And so this just goes through that piece. Thank you.
Questions of the commissioner? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is a design-build contract for $28.5 million. How much of the project would that build?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. Yeah, this is a first phase. And so what this allows us to do is to get the groundwork done, the uplands work at the site, you know, really create the footprint. So then when we get to the sub, and we get a lot of, we're going to produce a lot of rock for the erosion and the wave protection for this facility. And it really creates that area so that when we go to the next phase to actually build the docks and the structures, you know, there's a place to stage. It's not uncommon for us to stage a project like that.
Senator Keel.
Thank you. In terms of, there are a lot of outstanding questions about this this project. In terms of when that design comes in, are there stage gates in this contract? If the design comes in and we say, oh my God, it's a, you know, runway cost estimate, do we have off ramps?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. I mean, for a design build, I mean, so right now they're going through this design process, and what they've committed to is a $28.5 million project. And so, in terms of off-ramps, I mean, there's legal off-ramps, you know, when it comes to termination clauses and things like that, but they're bound by a contract. So this, you know, this project doesn't have a clause where if they decide they aren't interested in doing the project anymore, they could bow out, if that's the question.
Thank you.
Senator Keel. Senator Stedman.
Yeah, if no one else, I don't want to hog the questions here, but so I think the several weeks ago there was notification in my office that we've had some projects that were 100% over the cost in bidding or something, a surprise. And can you kind of give us an update on that? And we'll just, for those watching at home, that's one of the issues when we get into the capital budget we're going to talk about is escalation of projects, which are out of our control and your guys' control. But it you know, with limited monies, it just means we can get less projects, mm-hmm. is what it boils down to. And can you give us kind of a update on those cost projections or bids that you're seeing around the state? And I don't have that email in front of me, but we were put on notice.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Stedman. I'm not familiar with the email. I'll find out and make sure you get a formal response. But yeah, what we're doing and what you see, this is where it's important, you know, for folks, especially in the public, the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. Every time we update that, we're getting updated cost estimates from our engineers. And what you'll see if you go back and look through the record of the Statewide Transportation Improvement Programs is you'll see that cost increase on all these projects. And so that's really a great record for us. In terms of the actual inflation right now, it does seem to be stabilizing, at least over the past year is what we're seeing. We still have, you know, Western Alaska still sees some pretty extraordinary costs just because the cost of transport out there. And so, you know, those we have to factor in. And so it's a bit geographic focused, but when you look at, you know, the cost of steel and some of the things that are more commodity driven, those are stabilizing.
Senator Stedman.
Just a follow-up. Could you, when you have time, and it's not super time sensitive because we've got the capital budget coming later, a month or so later, but it'd be nice if you could, you know, give us a heads up on what you trends you've seen in the last 5 years or 4 years. You know, you guys kind of pick your time frame. So when we have the dialogue here at the table, you know, we got to try to factor that into account. What's coming? What do we think, and our best guess, is coming at us over the next year or two, so we get as many projects, you know, moving as possible.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Sullivan. Yeah, absolutely.
Please proceed.
Yeah, that's the end of my presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Further vetoes in the capital budget.
Chair Hoffman, happy to address any further questions on specific items in the capital budget if the committee has items that they would like to touch on.
Can you give us a highlight of projects that have been vetoed? We're particularly interested in deferred maintenance. I think the legislature spent a lot of time and effort on deferred maintenance of schools, of the university, other deferred maintenance projects that we felt were needed to be addressed. Those are crumbling. In fact, we've had a school in my district collapse in Antioch. We don't want these types of things to be happening. We need a preventive maintenance program. We understand that there is nothing in this budget to address that issue, but can you go over those projects that were in that category that were vetoed?
Chair Hoffman, yes, I can briefly touch on some of those items that you have referred to. Notably, I'll speak to line number 5 on the spreadsheet, which was the major maintenance grant fund. This is the appropriation that the legislature included in the budget last year to address school deferred maintenance. The mechanism that was used last year was proposed to be lapsing funds from the operating budget that would go through what we refer to as a waterfall. So there are several provisions in the operating budget that lapsed funding at the end of the year would go to, for example, our CAT fund, Catastrophic Reserve Fund, or Group Health, Group Life, which is our life insurance premium fund. And there's an order of operations that those lapsing appropriations would go through. Our office provides the legislature with a projection of what is expected to potentially lapse in a year. And the number that was vetoed was $25 million that would have gone to the major school major maintenance grant fund. It was projected that that funding would not be available and would not be there to lapse, meaning there would be no money that would go into that fund to address the schools. The lapse amount was a record low amount this year and primarily went to our Group Health, Group Life, which is our health insurance fund. I don't have the number off the top of my head, apologies, but that was the bucket that was filled when we go through those waterfalls. There was some funding remaining to address the top 3 projects on the list, and that I don't have the number for that, but it did touch on the top 3 projects. Specific to line 30 for the university, there was just at about $10 million added by the legislature last session. The budget did retain $6.75 million to address university projects. There was approximately a $3.25 million veto associated. So the university did get funding to address deferred maintenance and just not the entirety of the amount. What I will say is that there is no disagreement that deferred maintenance is a priority for the administration as well. There is one capital project in the capital budget that was proposed. It is our standard appropriation from what is available from the Amaretta Hess settlement into the Alaska Capital Income Fund. I believe it's projected to be upwards of $26 million that would go towards all of our state agencies, including the court system and the University of Alaska, to address high priority needs.
Thank you for that Further questions, Senator Stedman?
Yeah, I'd like to get a breakdown of those lapsing appropriations that didn't materialize on the K-12 deferred maintenance. That'll be helpful.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Stedman, we can follow up with that.
Yep. And then the ASME monies. Can you touch on the ASME money? We were, well, I'll let you walk through it, and then I might have a follow-up.
Ms. Sanders?
Senator Stedman, is ASME on the operating? Through the chair, Senator Stedman, thank you. While I identified that item on the list, so it is on the operating page, and I'm just going to reference it for the public. It is line number 16. There was a request that was proposed by the governor totaling $10 million. The legislature did include that item in the budget. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute had prepared a comprehensive marketing plan that would span multiple fiscal years. So it was intended that $10 million was intended to cover three fiscal years. Given the declining revenue that we were facing, the governor vetoed $5 million from that plan and retained $5 million so that they could continue the work that they were doing at a scaled-back approach.
Senator Stedman.
I think this went even to the previous year. You want to touch on that?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, yes. So this would have covered, as this was a supplemental, so it would have covered fiscal year 2025, 2026, and then fiscal year 2027 as appropriated.
And if we went back 1 year further?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, off the top of my head, I don't recall what was provided.
We had $10 million and the governor vetoed that, came forward with a supplemental. Had the money in the supplemental.
Yes.
Information I got from the industry is if anybody bitches about it, he's going to take the money out. Or we increase it, he's going to take the money out. So last year in the budget process, we just left it alone. And he took $5 million out. So that's certainly his prerogative, the veto pen. Although I wish you'd use a little one like this instead of the big fat one he uses. That gets a little blunt. And also, the industry was in a significant downturn. Russia, at the same time, was being forced out of the U.S. market for fish, and there was a window of opportunity to grab that shelf space. So we'll have an update on, well, you can't grab the shelf space if you don't have the marketing power to grab it before the next guy does. So we'll have ASME hopefully come forward, Mr. Chairman, talk about the industry. We need to get updated on the status of the fishing industry and the processors, the loans out to the fishermen, and kind of in the entirety, and then what ASME is proposing, which has to be approved by the administration. We understand that who he works for, but we still need to keep an eye on that. And I think Bristol Bay has got a little bit better, which is good as far as sockeye, but there's issues in our rivers and there's issues in other fisheries outside of red salmon that are still significant. Doesn't go unnoticed. And it doesn't go unnoticed that we had a balanced budget and we expected the governor to do some trimming, which they always do. That's normal. But the discussion here at the table was for oil prices to decline a little bit when we released that budget. So it didn't come as a surprise to I don't think anybody here when we picked that $66 number at this table and talked about it being a little bit softer, and then through the process with the body, we ended up around 68. And, you know, we sent the budget on the way, but this committee was prepared for a softening of the price structure.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Do members of the committee have further questions of the administration on the vetoes? Senator Stedman.
Before you cut them loose, they like the, you know, which I'm sure they're looking forward to ending this meeting. I would just encourage the administration to do a couple of things. In your amendments coming to the committee, put in what you think should be the policy going forward for deferred maintenance of schools, the university, and the courts. And if it's zero, put in zero. And if it's some other number, just put it on the table, and we'll work around those numbers. That would be extremely helpful. So we get a holistic, and there's some other items that are left out. So we get a holistic view of the operating and capital needs in front of us to make not only the policy call for this current fiscal year budget, which is 27 starting in July, but as a starting point if we're going to have any fruitful discussions on any sort of fiscal plan going forward. Because if we can't agree on K-12 maintenance, we're not going to agree on anything else, and it will not be zero. I'll tell you that. What number it is, who knows? Zero, it won't be. That would be very helpful, not only in the budget, but in the other broader dialogue of the plan that the administration put on the table, fiscal plan. And then I would encourage the administration to work with the minority to see if it's possible to move forward with a faster track supplemental. I don't think there'd be a lot of resistance to that until it starts getting expensive. And then it's not going to happen because we don't have the flexibility.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. I know we went over this yesterday in the supplemental request, but the administration vetoed funds for fire and disaster. And you had mentioned yesterday that you're looking at a possible 10-year average. Since it does fall under vetoes, I wonder if you could at least recap that those two items for the general public.
Thank you, Chair Hoffman. Yes, so there were two vetoes that we spoke to yesterday, two supplementals that I spoke to yesterday. There are corresponding vetoes that were included in the budget. So on line 24 of the operating spreadsheet, it's a $10.3 million veto for the disaster relief fund. This had retained just at $13 million. We had worked with the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs to identify that number. There is, we've had several disasters that have occurred as of recent, most notably the West Coast storm with Typhoon Halong. The supplemental that's before the committee is for $40 million. In the fiscal year 2027 budget, we have provided an increase to that. I'm going off the top of my head. It's either $24 or $27 million. And it was looking at an average of the last 10 years of disasters, which would include the 2018 earthquake as well as the two significant storms with the typhoons, among other items that that have occurred over the last several years. For the fire suppression fund, on line 28, the deposit into the fund was reduced by $26 million, retaining approximately $47.5 million. The administration has transmitted two disaster declarations related to fires totaling $55 million. There are no new asks at this time. We're working with the Department of Natural Resources to work through what the true up will look like moving forward. And I just, you know, both of these funds, the disaster relief fund and the fire suppression fund, cover disasters and fires that span multiple years. There are many, for example, in the Department of Natural Resources, cooperative agreements with other states and federal agencies and partners that we have to work through once a fire is completed, allocating the costs for those disasters, what becomes a state cost, what becomes a federal cost, or other. It's very complex, and it takes time to work through that process. So sometimes what we're seeing is a request is coming to you now that our bills are due and we need to get money into that fund to ensure that not only, one, can we respond to disasters that are occurring now, but two, we can meet the expenditures in the past that have occurred. The hope is that by having a fund for both of these, we can decrease the volatility and spikes that we're seeing with requests to supplementals, and that it will start to level out as we deposit funds in and maybe don't have such high disasters. That money stays in the fund and can be used moving forward. So those are the two items that I would note.
Thank you for that. I would ask that you give us the calculations on your 10-year average for fire and disaster. We utilized 5 years. And the reason that we proposed a five-year average is that over the last few years, we've seen larger disasters, more frequent disasters. And as a result of that, we felt that it was necessary to have a higher number than a lower number for disasters. The question that I have on your supplemental request for the $40 million, how urgent is that, the need for the legislature to take action on that appropriation?
Chair Hoffman, we'll definitely get to you the comparisons between the five-year and the 10-year average. We've already asked the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs to get that to us for the committee. The urgency, we have proposed it as a supplemental. That's the preference, is to get it before the end of the year. We have the ability to short-term or temporarily borrow from other capital projects. So that is what we are doing. While not ideal, we have made it work the last 2 years. And so when that bill is passed, we'll make the accounting entry and return those funds to the capital projects that we've been borrowing from.
Senator Stedman.
In the spirit of goodwill in the past, when we have borrowed from other accounts to deal with these issues, even though sometimes the borrowing was inappropriate and not allowed, we didn't call the departments on the table for it because we knew they had to meet their obligation, and there was no skullduggery going on. So I'd just like to remind you of that. And I'd like to, Mr. Chairman, it'd be nice if we could have them calculate their 10-year average for last year so we can compare it to that 5-year. And see how close those numbers are, and it may be something that we can agree on what kind of an average. We certainly agree on the surplus rolling forward, if there is one, so we can have less impact on the future budgets. I think we had the same intent with the five-year in the event that it wasn't needed. But it turns out it was needed, plus more.
I'd like to put on the record that kudos should go out to the administration for their prompt and professional addressing of the disasters, particularly the one in my district. I traveled out there with the governor, and he had more than enough departments and people to answer questions to those concerned people in the district. So I would like to state that they are doing a tremendous job in that regard. with that, I would like to see if you have any closing comments before we consider adjournment.
Chair Hoffman and members, thank you for the opportunity today to speak with you all. We are looking forward to continuing the conversations and working collaboratively together to put legislation together that meets the needs of Alaskans. So thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, that concludes the agenda today. Our next meeting will be tomorrow, Wednesday, January the 28th at 9 a.m. We will have an overview of the governor's FY27 budget from the Legislative Finance Division. With that, we stand adjourned.